Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The only legacy that President Obama might have is a negative one. We're going to be talking about some of these issues on Faith and Freedom with Jonathan Alexander, our Director of Public Affairs in Washington, D.C. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. You know, Jonathan, much of the Obama administration legacy is going to be wiped away. Obamacare is going to be wiped away. The Iran deal is going to be either undone or certainly additional sanctions are going to be put against Iran. His sort of standoff attitude regarding Jerusalem and Israel is going to be changed. In fact, one of the high priorities of the administration will be to bring the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Kellyanne Conway just recently confirmed that in an interview. So much of his legacy is going to crumble. A lot of these executive orders that he did will be undone. But one of the things that President Obama has done is shockingly transform many of the agencies with regards to the so-called LGBT issue. Tell us a little bit about it, because this is actually disturbing in terms of how far he has embedded this issue into the federal government and into various laws.
When you look at the Obama administration, as you mentioned, the LGBT agenda has found an ally. Most or many of his priorities, especially when it comes to social norms, has been to rewrite what society has held as common sense, safety, and privacy. You know, his introduction of the transgender ideology and making that commonplace in the federal setting, as well as his acquiescence to homosexuality and different sexual behaviors, just shows that Obama has really taken time to normalize the LGBT agenda. And has done so in a way that has really criminalized holding a view of natural law and promoting God-honoring marriages. Those who want to live out their faith and act contrary to what the Obama administration has imposed on them in terms of the LGBT agenda have been in the crosshairs of the federal government.
Well, let's go through some of these issues here that he's done that in. Federal statutes, for example, the Matthew Shepard and James Byrd Jr. Hate Crimes Prevention Act includes gender identity. Violence Against Women's Act, reauthorization of 2013, includes gender identity. The health care, the HHS non-discrimination and health care programs and activities, the final rule, a lot of these things are done through rulemaking, so they're not even legislative. It has gender identity and sexual orientation. The HHS Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, it prohibits the issuer from choosing to decline to offer to a plan sponsor the option to cover same-sex spouses under the coverage on the same terms as the opposite sex. So there's many, many more that we can go through, and we'll try to go through as many as we can. But he has really peppered our legislature, our agencies, our various departments with this issue.
Yeah, what you're seeing is, you know, he'll come up with an innocuous statement or a letter that seems to uphold, you know, for instance, in this Violence Against Women's Act, this seemingly innocent sort of proclamation, but when you look at it, it really goes to redefine the idea of what it means to be a woman, and is now allowing males who, you know, have an internal sense of feeling that they're women now take part in these protections that he's creating. Certainly rewriting how we've understood biological sex, introducing this concept of transgenderism in the federal law, and then imposing it through these administrative agencies on society. What is nefarious in the administration's practice is how they pivot from one administration to the other. We'll say that the DOJ has, you know, put out a guidance letter or is starting to interpret statutes one way, and so the DOE must do so. And what they're really doing is just pivoting back and forth from an Obama-controlled agency and using that as their authority to really rewrite what we've understood as biology, and now make sexual behavior and sexual orientation paramount in society and giving it its own unique identity that they would say requires civil protection.
Yeah, and if, for example, in the employment context, Title VII, which is that
right.
the Title VII federal law, they have lawsuits with regards to pushing the gender identity. They have several lawsuits that I'm looking at right here regarding this issue. They have the DOJ treatment of transgender and employment discrimination claims under Title VII, where they're trying to say that discrimination on the basis of sex includes gender identity. So this is the highest agency under Obama as a law enforcement agency. And you have the Department of Education, where they're trying to issue this guidance. Fortunately, it's been blocked by a federal court to say that the schools, K through 12, need to have an LGBT policy that allows boys to use women's facilities. It goes on and on.
Forcing school administrations to, you know, assume this role in defining or allowing redefinition based on a student's internal sense. You know, as practical as saying that a young man can be a man outside but come into school and pull out of his locker room a dress and you have to now identify him as a woman. And that comes with a threat, right? A threat saying, you know, even in this Dear Colleague letter, a threat saying that if a school doesn't do so, that they're at risk of losing their federal funding.
Yeah, you have the workplace or the OSHA. They've got a guide to restroom access for transgender workers, and this is a guide that the administration put out for use of the restroom so that men could use a woman's restroom if that's how they subjectively identify, whether that's a reality in their mind, a confused reality in their mind, or whether they want to just use the women's restroom. Either one, they can do it under this proposed guide to restroom access for transgender workers. You got federal property and public accommodations with the a bulletin concerning transgender access to all federal property open to the public. You have a transgender bathroom access policy at the White House and national parks. You have executive orders that include gender identity in federal employment. You have, it goes on and on and on, guidance regarding the employment of transgender individuals in the federal workplace.
Right.
You have the EPA collecting data on employee sexual orientation and gender identity, and this list is endless.
Right. I mean, you mentioned employment. I mean, it goes as far to say is if an individual wants to use a locker room, or you know, if the job is taking their employees out for the night, or you know, going to a hotel, that gender identity now can't exclude them from, you know, these private facilities like locker rooms and showers if they're using them at work. I mean, as you said, the list goes on, and it's how the administration pulls legal fiction, right? There isn't any statutory authority giving them the right to redefine sex as gender identity. It's certainly not the legislature's intent, but they've found and piecemealed different authorities in order to come up with what really has been a redefinition of how we understand sex to be and gender identity. And on top of that, has taken legal steps through, you know, don't ask, don't tell, that repeal, having the Attorney General no longer pay attention to the Defense of Marriage Act, and of course the Obergefell decision are cases and ways that the administration has really cemented this view that puts sexual orientation behavior and so-called transgender identity, attempting to make that commonplace in American society, and leaving folks that object to that, you know, folks that have a belief or a practice that requires them to object to that sort of behavior, having them in the crosshairs of prosecution.
Well, our guest is Jonathan Alexander. He's our Director of Public Policy in our Washington, D.C. office for Liberty Counsel, Liberty Counsel Action. These issues also go into contracting, Americans with Disabilities Act, law enforcement, you know, the CIA, the FBI, some of them change some of their, they actually have some logos for the LGBT groups within their community. They're actually soliciting people that are LGBT to work in their workplaces. It's unbelievable what this president has done. I am so glad that he will no longer be in office in the next couple of weeks, and that
right.
his agenda will come to an end, and that we have a new administration on the horizon. We have a lot of challenges ahead in 2017, but we have a lot of opportunities as well. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Join with us in 2017. There's so much work to be done just on this one issue alone to undo many of the harmful things that Obama has done. So, you know, we can complain about the government, and certainly we need to hold the government accountable. Certainly the last one has been atrocious on this issue. We need to hold the Trump administration accountable. I'm very positive and glad to see some of the people that Donald Trump is putting around himself on this issue. For more information, visit lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation.